So today we're reading from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 24, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, text 57. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O King, Maharaja Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for His appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Super Soul, He knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects Him, not even the results of fruitive activities. Purport. This verse points out the difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and an ordinary living entity. An ordinary living being receives a particular type of body according to his past activities. Karmana daiva netrina jantur deho papatyate. Papattaye. A living being is never independent and can never appear independently. Rather, one is forced to accept a body imposed upon him by Maya according to his past karma. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, Yantra Rudhani Mayaya, the body is a kind of machine created and offered to the living entity by the material energy under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity must accept a particular type of body awarded to him by Maya, the material energy, according to his karma. One cannot independently say, give me a body like this, or give me a body like that. One must accept whatever body is offered by the material energy. This is the position of the ordinary living being. When Krishna descends, however, he does so out of his merciful compassion for the fallen souls. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Supreme Lord is not forced to appear. Indeed, no one can subject him to force, for he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone is under his control, and he is not under the control of anyone else. Foolish people who, because of poor fund of knowledge, think that one can that one can equal Krishna or become Krishna are condemned in every way. No one can equal or surpass Krishna, who is therefore described as Asamordva. According to the Vishwakosha dictionary, the word Maya is used in the sense of false pride and also in the sense of compassion. For an ordinary living being, the body in which he appears is his punishment. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Daivihesha Gunamai Mamamaya Duratya, this divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes of material nature is difficult to overcome. But when Krishna comes, the word Maya refers to his compassion or mercy upon the devotees and fallen souls. By his potency, the Lord can deliver everyone, whether sinful or pious. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nahyasya janmano hetuhu karmano vamahipate atmamayam vineshasya parasya drashturatmanaha. O King Maharaja Parikshit, but for the Lord's personal desire, there is no cause for his appearance, disappearance, or activities. As the Super Soul, he knows everything. Consequently, there is no cause that affects him, nor even the results of fruitive activities, not even the results of fruitive activities. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Sutarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanu Lambita Bujaukana Kavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksha Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palavandai Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Эндах правишьем амавачем имам прасуптам. Санджиевая такила шакти дарах свадамна. Аням шчахаста чарана шравана твагадим. Прананнамо бхагавате пурушасе. Пурушая тумем. Харе Кришна. So we're celebrating the Janmashtami, which is approaching very soon. And for this reason, we are trying to deliberate on the causes of Krishna's descent to this world, his activities, his Janma and Karma. Because Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita very emphatically, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yoveti tattvataha tyaktva deham punar janmana iti mamaiti sorjuna. The one who understands in truth the appearance and activities of the Lord upon leaving this body will be delivered. Once Srila Prabhupada said that this is the most important verse in Bhagavad Gita. Because it directly relates to our situation in this material world and to the what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to understand Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Tattvataha in truth. Unfortunately, sometimes we do have very superficial understanding of Lord's activities and births. Because of that, the promised by Krishna result does not take place in our life. Because when Krishna says, Tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjuna, one while leaving this body is not coming back, he also actually means that even while living, the one who understands real reason for his appearance in this world and his activities is not implicated by karma. If we understand in reality, tattvataha, the causes of Krishna's activities and births, then we are not entangled. Therefore, upon leaving this body, naturally we don't come. So, actually, when we understand this, then the liberation will take place immediately. We already know the part of this material world, and therefore it's so important to understand very carefully the reasons for Lord's appearance in this world. And Shukadev Goswami, in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is explaining very carefully these reasons. And in the previous verse he says, Yada yada hi dharmasya kshayo vridyascha papmanaha tada tut bhagavan isha atmanam srijate harihi. He gives very well-known reason that the Lord comes when there is too much sinful activities to establish dharma. But actually, that's not the real reason. If this was the reason, For Lord's appearance, first of all, why would not he appear now? Definitely a good time for him to appear, because there is a lot of sinful people around us and Dharma is totally finished. But the main reason why this is not the real reason is that by saying that the Lord comes to re-establish Dharma, we kind of drag the Lord to the level of material world. And that's usually what people do when they speak about the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord, he's good. And usually when they say he's good, they really mean he's sattvic. He's a sattvic being, therefore he likes Dharma. You know, Dharma is material. Dharma is not really transcendental. Dharma is the activities which we are supposed to perform in this material world to become stable in this material world, to get some promotion in this material world. It's ultimately sattvic. So by saying that the Lord comes to establish Dharma, we basically say he's sattvic, he's good. He's not bad. He's, you know, and sometimes people have this dualistic understanding of the Lord. There is Lord and he's good, and there is Satan, he's bad. And they are fighting, and usually Satan wins, but at the end, because Lord is good, he wins. But that cannot be the reason for his appearance. Because he is not a sattvic being, he is transcendental, as it is said very clearly in this verse, parasya. He is para. He is beyond this material world, so he is beyond the gunas of this material world. Yes, he does reestablish Dharma when he comes, but he does it incidentally. This is just a byproduct. This is just incidental, insignificant result of his appearance. That cannot be the main cause of his appearance. Srila Jiva Goswami, while explaining this, he gives an interesting example, which is very relevant to Bhaktivedanta manner at this particular time of the year. He says then sometimes devotees want to celebrate the Lord and therefore they perform Sankirtan. And the main cause for the devotees to celebrate Sankirtan or celebrate Janmashtami is to glorify the Lord. They want to please the Lord. That's the main cause. But incidentally, the whole world is purified. When devotees come together, they experience bliss by glorifying the Lord. But incidental result is that the Lord is the whole world is being purified. And then he says, and sometimes they invite professional musicians. Sometimes devotees are not very good in playing drums and playing some flutes or violins or whatever. So sometimes Bhakti Bringa Govinda Maharaj, he invites the whole, symphonic orchestra for his Sankirtan. And devotees hire this. And another incidental result is that these stupid musicians who don't know anything, they become also purified. They also engaged in this Sankirtan, and totally unwillingly, they're playing what they're supposed to play, but they hear the holy name. So Srila Jiva Goswami gives this example to understand that when Lord comes, this is to establish Dharma is just an insignificant incidental result. Like also, here in Bhaktivedanta manner during Janmashtami, the main cause for us to celebrate Janmashtami, to arrange all this, bombastic, festival, is to please the Lord, is to please Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. That's the main cause. That's why we're doing it. But incidentally, so many people are coming, doing some volunteers, and they They may not know, you know, who is the Lord, why they are doing this, but they are getting purified. The whole world is getting purified. So, therefore, here, it's very interesting, the whole logic of this section of the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this verse, which we read today, Srila Shukadev Goswami, he formulates the main reason, and he's very emphatic again. He says, Nahi asya janmano hetuhu karmano vamahipate. He says, there is no other reason, Nahi asya janmano, for Lord's birth and activities, but his atmamayam, his own desire, as Srila Prabhupada translates it, or how he explains according to Vishwakosha dictionary, Atmamaya means his mercy. Why his mercy is there? Because he is drashtu. Because he is the witness. Because he knows the sufferings of the living entities. And because he knows the sufferings of different grades of living entities. He is drashtur. He sees the sufferings. And therefore, he, being benevolent, he extends his mercy. And this mercy, as it is said here, is towards Atmamayam, towards the souls. And he is Atmanaha, he is the supreme soul. Therefore, the Atmas are his parts and parcel. Therefore, he is naturally merciful as the Father. Sometimes people say, why Krishna should come himself? But that's the reason. Because he is Atma and we are Atma. There is certain connection is there. He is Atma and we are Atma. He is spiritual, we are spiritual. And ultimately he cannot be indifferent to us. Therefore he comes here, even though he is Parasya, he is Para. He is totally transcendental. He has nothing to do with this world. And to understand his lilas, his janma and karma, in reality, is to understand that he is transcendental. Still he comes here, but by coming here, he is not being entangled in the activities of this world. And one can say, if he manifests the mercy, is it not the entanglement? When we are, compassionate to somebody, it's some sort of entanglement. It is said that Guru takes the karma of his disciples. What does it mean? It means that he's kind of entangled in their karma, being compassionate. So, but here it is still said, Parasya, please, he is compassionate. There is no doubt about it. He is compassionate to the souls, but still he remains totally transcendental. So I will try to explain this point. And actually, this is what Shukadev Goswami himself will be explaining in the next verses of this section by describing how the Lord differently manifests his mercy to different categories of the soul. And his ultimate result, please be very, listen very carefully. His ultimate result is that ultimately the Lord comes only for the sake of his pure devotees. And therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami, while translating this verse, this particular verse, where it is said, Atma Mayam, he doesn't translate Atma as the general soul. You can translate here Atma as Prabhupada does, as conditioned soul, or as a soul. And in this way, you will say that the Lord comes and performs his activities and his janma for the sake of, because of the compassion for the ordinary living beings. But it is not so. Again, his compassion to the ordinary living entities and his mercy, which comes when he appears as avatar, is incidental result. As much as establishing Dharma, it's not the main cause of his appearance. It cannot be the cause of his appearance. Because if it was the cause, he would again be implicated by the karmic activities of the world. But he's only coming to interact with his pure devotees. And that's what Srila Shukadeva Goswami will explain in these verses. But at the same time, he definitely comes because of his mercy towards us. He's not indifferent. But this is incidental. Ultimately, he's only engaged in his own Swarup Shakti, which manifests completely and fully in his pure devotees. And this is what Shukadeva Goswami will explain. So he says in the next verse, he uses what is called Kaimutya Nyaya in Sanskrit. Kaimutya Nyaya means Kimuta Nyaya, the logic of what to speak of. In the next verse, Srila Shukadeva Goswami says that the Lord, what to speak of him coming personally when he comes as avatar, or when what to speak of when he comes as Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna. This is the manifestation of only his mercy. He says that even when the Lord creates this material world, this is also his mercy. So this is the next verse. In the next verse he says that the Supreme Lord creates this world because of his mercy. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I definitely sometimes wonder, how is this horrible world is the mercy of the Lord? Srila Prabhupada explains, and Srila Jiva Goswami also explains, that the only cause of atheism in this world is that people cannot really understand why there is so much suffering in this world. And because people cannot understand this, they become atheists. And we see so much suffering is there. And then we say, oh yeah, this is the mercy of the Lord. How is this the mercy of the Lord? So this we have to understand first. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami, while explaining the appearance of the Lord, and the cause, the reason for his appearance here, he first says that even this world, we have to understand this very clearly, even this world is the manifestation of his mercy. Why? Why all this suffering is the manifestation of this mercy? Because while living in this miserable place, we can develop some detachment from this miserable place and from the material enjoyments or so-called material enjoyments which attracted us on the first place. And that's definitely Lord's mercy. And tan nivritti, we can develop this nivritti, this detachment or renunciation from this verse, become little sober, lose our hope, and develop some desire for some different sort of existence. Actually, we are all a result of the sufferings of this world. I mean, we as devotees sitting here, if we carefully analyze why did we come to Krishna consciousness movement, we really have to understand that we only came because of the sufferings of this material world. Nobody becomes a devotee because he's so happy in this material world. Harikesh Maharaj, you know, he used to joke when he was guru. He used to joke. He says, in Germany, people become devotees only when they fail to commit suicide. when they're complete failure, couldn't even commit suicide, then they become devotees. And, you know, to a certain extent, it refers to us. We must have failed in the material world. That's why we're here. That's why we become devotees. And that's Lord's mercy. Sukadeva Goswami explained this, that even this material world, it may be very difficult for us to understand that this material world is the mercy, but in reality, if we look very carefully, we will understand that, actually the Lord wants us to become detached from this material entanglement of material enjoyment, and therefore so much suffering is there, and therefore He mercifully creates this miserable world and gives us chance to become disillusioned. Shishi Radha Gokulananda, Shishi Gornitai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. And then, starting from the next verse, he starts explaining the different kinds of mercy which Lord manifests according to the gradations or the level of consciousness of living entities which are living in this world. As it is said, Atmamayam, he gives... I didn't explain how Jiva Goswami explained Atma. He says, Atma is not just ordinary living entities. Atma is his pure devotees who are equal to himself. Srila Jiva Goswami, again, while translating this particular verse which we read, he says that Atma Mayam, here Atma doesn't mean conditioned souls. Here Atma means the pure devotees who are dear to him as his own heart. Therefore, they are his Atma. Those devotees who are Atma of the Lord, for the mercy for him, for them, he comes to this world. But anyway, incidentally, he also manifests mercy to everyone else, and it all depends on the level of consciousness or our desire. Please try to understand what Sukadeva Goswami wants to tell us. Why he is explaining this? Sukadeva Goswami, by saying this, he explains that it actually depends on us what kind of mercy we will receive from the Lord. Everyone will receive the mercy. Some will receive the mercy just losing material hopes, becoming completely hopeless loser in this material world. That's mercy. Some will receive the mercy, and he will explain other things. But ultimately, he will explain the highest gradation of the mercy. And while explaining the different grades of the mercy, which the Lord gives to different kinds of living entities, Sukadeva Goswami indirectly impels us or calls us to manifest the nature or the kind of consciousness which attracts the highest mercy of the Lord, the highest possible mercy of the Lord. Therefore, the next section is very interesting for us to understand these different gradations of the mercy. How, when Lord comes personally, he already stated that through his indirect action of material energy, he gives mercy. But now we are more interested in the specific mercy which he gives when he comes personally as Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. And he explains basically five kinds of living entities and five kinds of mercy which living entities directly receive from the Lord when he comes as Krishna himself. So the first kind of living entity which gets his mercy when he comes here is described in the verse 59, and this is demoniac people. The completely demoniac people who are so much entangled in this verse, in this world. I don't know why I always want to call this word as a verse. But anyway, so there are completely demoniac people, and these demoniac people, it's very interesting how Shukadeva Goswami describes them. This is the people who are thirsty for power. Those rulers who are really, you know, there are normal demoniac people here. But the real demoniac people are, you know, Donald Trump and... I'm sorry, we're not supposed to be. But those people who really want to rule and to lord over other living entities. And they, as it is described here by Sukadeva Goswami, they accumulate military power. They are basically destroying the whole world by their ambitions. They are accumulating the power because this desire to lord it over material nature becomes insatiable. They're trying to accumulate more and more and more power, and they will never be satisfied by any amount of power which they have. And what hope do they have? Do they have any hope? Shukadeva Goswami says, yes, they should wait. At least for now, they should wait for one Mahayuga, one day of Lord Brahma, and then ultimately the Lord will come and he will kill them, no problem. So it's a short period of time. So they should wait for some time and the Lord will come. He came. He did show it when he came 5,000 years back, and there was a lot of all these demoniac rulers. And the Lord very cleverly gathered them all together on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and there was a mass massacre. There was Holocaust of demoniac people. And the Lord himself, what he did, very cleverly, the whole arrangement is very ingenious. The Lord himself, he became the chariot driver of Arjuna. And because he knew that Arjuna will be the most instrumental in killing people, so he stood just in front of Arjuna. He didn't kill them. He just stood in front of Arjuna. Arjuna was killing. Arjuna was doing the dirty job. And the Lord was just smiling at them. He was just up front so that anyone who would be killed by Arjuna, and practically everyone was killed by Arjuna. Most of the people were killed by Arjuna. So everyone who was killed by Arjuna would see the Lord and delivered immediately. You know? So that's what Bhishma Dev explains in his prayers to the Lord, that, you know, just by showing yourself, you diminish the lifespan of all those demoniac people, but at the same time you deliver them completely by showering your beauty upon them. So that's what he says. If you're completely demoniac, just wait a little bit. Lord's mercy is always there. He will come. You may become Donald Trump for many, many lifetimes, being entangled in this material world. But ultimately, the Lord will come and will kill you. The next two verses, he explains how Lord's mercy manifest towards those people who are inclined to become his devotees, but somehow or other may miss his appearance in this world. As Krishna himself says, there are two kinds of living entities, suras and asuras, those people who are endowed with daivi sampat or the opulences of divine nature, and asura sampat, demoniac nature or demoniac opulences, demoniac powers. He says, for those sadhakas, for those devotees who would like to, after, it's very interesting, the devotees will go next. The next category of living entities, and if we see the logic of Shukadev Goswami explaining the gradation of mercy, it's very interesting, because the next category after the complete demons goes demigods. And according to the logic of these verses, they are next less fortunate category of living entities. Shukadev Goswami says that for the great demigods, the Lord says, first is great demons, them he kills. For great demigods, the Lord comes, and what he does, he impresses upon their mind by his opulences. He make a very deep impression by displaying unbelievable opulence. And it's interesting, because sometimes we say demigods are very great, this and that. They may be, but they also entangled in this world. Indra is very much entangled in this world. Srimad Bhagavatam is very, negative about Lord Indra, especially when he was fighting with Vritrasura. Usually in the Vedas, Lord Indra is being glorified as the conqueror of or killer of Vritrasura. But Srimad Bhagavatam says, this is a misfortune of Indra that he killed great devotee of Vritrasura. So therefore, Shukadev Goswami says here, great demigods, they're so entangled that even when the Lord comes, they somehow or other want to compete with him. Lord Shiva wanted to attack him and was fighting with the Lord. Lord Indra was fighting with Lord Krishna. Lord Brahma was completely bewildered by Lord Krishna's activities. And therefore, Shukadev Goswami says, for the great demigods, the mercy of the Lord, when he comes as avatar, or not as avatar, of course, but when he comes as Svayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna, the mercy of the Lord manifests that he manifests his opulences, and he completely humiliates them. He deprives them of their pride, because these demigods, they are very proud of their power, and therefore the Lord comes, and and the Lord Brahma comes to his door at Dwaraka and knocks the door, and the guard, Lord's guard, comes and says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I'm Brahma." And he goes to Lord Krishna and asks, "Lord Krishna, some Brahma wants to see you. Shall I let him in or not?" And Lord Krishna says, "Please ask him what kind of Brahma he is." Be a little more specific, because there are so many Brahmas. And then, the guard says, "What kind of Brahma you are?" He says, "What do you mean, what kind of Brahma? I'm the creator of this world, Chaturmukha Brahma, And the god says, yeah, some Chaturmukha Brahma is there. Okay, let him in. And then this Chaturmukha Brahma sees the Sahasramukha Brahmas and Kotimukha Brahmas and so many other Brahmas and become completely humiliated. So Shukadeva Goswami says, for those people who are somewhat devotional, but at the same time bewildered by their opulence, the Lord comes and he manifests complete opulence and deprives them of their pride. And then he speaks about us, finally. And that's the next two verses. You know, because he knows that we are in majority, Shukadeva Goswami dedicates two verses to our situation, how and the Lord manifests mercy towards us. He says, Yasmin, and it's very interesting because in these two verses, he not only explains how the Lord manifests his mercy towards us, but he also explains what we should do to receive his mercy. You know, for great demons, they only have to be great demons to receive his mercy, because there is no other hope for them. Demigods have to be very proud to receive his mercy. But for us, he says, Yasmin sat karma piyushe yashas tirtha varesa krit shrotanjali rupashritya dhunute karma vasanam kalo janisyamananam. Those people who are who will be born or who are being born in the age of Kali. Kalo janisyamananam. Janisyamananam is in present continuous according to Sanskrit. So kalo janisyamananam, those who are being born, constantly being born in this age of Kali, where there is very little hope for our purification. Dukkha shoka tamonudam, to free us from dukkha, from the miseries, from unhappiness, shoka, from our grief, and tama, from our ignorance. Dukkha shoka tamonudam anugrahaya bhaktanam supunyam vyatanot yashaha. It's very interesting. We really have to understand these two verses of Shukadeva Goswami's describing Lord's mercy upon us. He says, for those people who are suffering, but they have devotional tendencies, who are somewhat devoted, who committed some pious activities and acquired some bhakti unmukhi sukriti, some pious credits, bhakti credits. He comes here, anugrahaya bhaktanam, supunyam vyatanot yashaha. He knows that we are suffering because of our ignorance. Can anyone admit that he has some ignorance? And the reason is, you know, sometimes we think that we are completely enlightened souls and, you know, we are devotees. But if we experience dukkha and shoka, it means that we are in ignorance. Does anyone sometimes feel some grief or some unhappiness? Sometimes. Very rarely. Or some depression. You know? It all manifestation of ignorance. Because of ignorance, and the Lord, as it is said in this verse, because he is drashtu, he is the witness, He is the witness within our heart. He knows that we have devotional tendencies, but he knows that we are unhappy. And to make us happy, what he does, anugrahaya bhaktanam, to manifest his mercy towards ordinary devotees, sadhaka devotees like us, supunyam vyatanot yashaha, he manifests his glory. He comes here and manifests his glory, and as it is explained by our acharyas, what is his glory? He manifests his glory, his yasha, his glory, and his glory is mangalmaya. This quality of the Lord, his yasha, is mangalmaya. It brings auspiciousness to anyone who hears about the glory of the Lord. You know, there is yasha, or the ordinary glory of people in this world. There is Latin proverb, sic transit gloria mundi. There are so many so-called glorious people in this world. But when we read about the glories of the people of this world, we become even more contaminated. You know, if we read about the glory of Michael Jackson, you know. Recently, one devotee wrote the whole complete biography of Michael Jackson by trying to explain that actually he was very spiritual. Whether it is so or not, you know, remains to be seen. But you know, it's hard to believe. But the point is that when we hear about the glory or pastimes or births and activities of so-called glorious people of this world, it's very amangal. It's very inauspicious. It really contaminates us, you know. Just by thinking about Michael Jackson, we become somewhat contaminated. What to speak about getting into his pastimes and leelas and, you know, in a very direct way. But when the Lord comes, supunyam vyatanot yashaha, he distributes his glory, his yasha, which is supunyam, which is purifying. And when we do this, this is very important what Shukadeva Goswami says, the next verse, when he says, Yasmin satkarma piyushe yashas tirthavare sakrit shrotanjali supashritya dhunute karma vasanam. We can be dhunute karma vasanam. We can be completely purified from karma vasana, from very deeply rooted desires. Vasanas is not just desires, but desires which constitute our conditioned nature, deeply rooted desires, karma vasanas, dunute karma vasanas. Only when we shrotanjalir, when our anjali means the your palms, which you make like cup. When you want to drink something, you make your palms like a cup and then you drink it. So here, Shukadeva Goswami explains that you can get his mercy, full portion of his mercy, if you are in this category. If you are a devotee, but at the same time you are ignorant devotee. If you are under this influence of tamagun, if you are in this category, then what you have to do, you have to make your ears as a cup. And you have to really drink Yasmin satkarna piyushe, by the pure ears, you have to drink this glory of the Lord. In other words, you have to be very, very attentive while listening about the glories of the Lord. Not just sitting there and looking at the watch and, you know, saying, oh, no, sure. My goodness, so long this class is going on. When will it finish? It's already time. This is ridiculous. You know. No, but Srila Shukadeva Goswami says, you can get the Lord's mercy of the Lord. You can be completely purified from all this karma vasanas if you make your ears like a cup and you try to drink it again and again and again. Yashas Tirtha Varesa Krit. And even if once you did this, Asakrit, if you did it only once, that will also help. But if you constantly do this, Shrotan Jalil Rupa Shritya Dunute Karma Vasana, you will be completely purified. And Srila Prabhupada explains that you will be completely indifferent to the desires of this world. Your heart will be completely purified from the material desires. But actually, as I said, in the next three verses, Shukadev Goswami explains the real mercy of the Lord. And he says that the real mercy of the Lord, when the Lord comes himself, why does he come himself? He comes himself only for the sake of his pure devotees. Those pure devotees who has no ignorance whatsoever, but who want to drink him with his eyes. It's very interesting because in this series of verses, the Lord, Shukadev Goswami explains that different people, according to the development of their consciousness, they're being impressed by the Lord in different ways. Demoniac people, they cannot be impressed by the Lord at all, therefore he just kills them. They are sick, as Srila Jiva Goswami explains. He gives the same example as Rupa Goswami gives. Because of jaundice, they're diseased and they cannot really appreciate the Lord. They're completely sick. They have this jaundice, and therefore sweet Lord tastes bitter to them, and therefore the Lord forces his sweetness upon them by killing them or by showing him in front of them. He forces them as much as the doctor forces somebody who is sick by jaundice, from jaundice, to take some sweet sugar to be cured from this. For those people who are very proud of their prowess, of their position in this world, the Lord humiliates them. That's his mercy, and he presses upon their mind. For those who are little pious like us, but at the same time ignorant, he tries to impress us upon our ears. When we hear about him, we become impressed. And he says, but for those people who are really pure and who are really eager to interact with him personally. Again, what we see in this series of verses, we see the progression of personal involvement of the Lord in the lives of people. His mercy becomes more and more condensed, more and more personal. And he says in the next three verses, he says, for those pure devotees who want to see him face to face, he manifests his real mercy. Who have the real desire to see him. In the case of his completely pure devotees, which are described in the last verse of this series, in the verse 66, he says they cannot tolerate even a split second of separation with the Lord when their eyes blink and they don't see the Lord. They want to see the Lord all the time. So there is a lot to be said about more, about all these verses and about different manifestations of Lord mercy. But we really have to understand one thing. The Lord is completely independent. He comes only because of his mercy. But it's up to us what kind of mercy we will get from him. And we may get the full a portion of his mercy if by hearing about him we will purify our heart to such extent that in our heart the desire to see him will become very intense. For those people who will develop this desire due to purification of their heart, desire to see him personally, face to face, to drink his beauty, for those people, Krishna will give the highest portion of his mercy. As he himself says, yayathamam prapanyande tamstathami bhajamyaham. So we will really experience Krishna Janmashtami, and we will really understand the nature of Krishna's birth and activities only if we desire this, if we develop this ardent desire, I want to see the beauty of the Lord. There is no other hope, happiness in this world, and there is no other hope for me in this world. I want to be happy, but my natural way of getting happiness, and the only way of getting happiness, is to see the Lord face to face. And this is what, but how we can develop this desire? We can develop this desire by only one way, by listening again and again and again about the glory of the Lord, about the beauty of the Lord, about the mercy of the Lord, because his mercy and his beauty is the same. And in this way, develop very strong desire, I want to see the Lord. And if this desire is there, then while chanting his holy name, we will have his darshan. And on Janmashtami day, he will manifest himself completely and fully within our heart, and we will see him face to face in our heart and in Sri Radha Gokulananda. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.